Morning Mass on the first day of September. Sunny this morning on our way to 73. Could be some late rain showers this afternoon. That's just a possibility. Time for Dial-A-Doc. We visit with FHN on a weekly basis. Today, new clinical director at FHN Family Counseling Center, Susan Johnson. Good morning, Susan. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Nice to have you with us. A pretty serious subject we're going to talk about today, suicide prevention. But before that, because you're new clinical director at FHN, what have you done before?
Before I came to FHN, I worked in Rockford at a counseling agency, and I've also worked with victims of domestic violence and sexual assault.
Okay, so well-rounded in this type of thing. And it's Suicide Prevention National Suicide Month in September, and we just hit September. The suicide rate, Susan, for the United States keep setting records. On average, over 130 successful suicides every day. Now, after cancer and heart disease, that accounts for more years of life lost than any other cause of death. Tell us a little bit about that, and I'm guessing with the pandemic going on, loneliness out there, suicides have risen.
Suicide has really risen, and it especially during the pandemic, and it's people feel like it's the only way out for them. They don't know what to do, and that is what they consider.
Now, do you find people that commit suicide, do they talk to people first? I mean, are there signs, or
There are some signs, especially for people you know. So, for example, if you know somebody who's usually bubbly and outgoing, and all of a sudden they become withdrawn, you know, they're acting depressed, they don't have any interest in anything, you might want to talk to them about what's going on. People who are really suicidal sometimes don't talk about it because there's such a stigma against it.
Going back to some statistics here from the CDC, suicide, the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. How many lives does that claim a year?
47,000 people, 10th leading cause of death. So 47,000 people die of suicide each year.
And the age brackets it happens in, more so?
I would say it's the second leading cause of death amongst people between 10 and 34, and the fourth between 35 and 54.
Is that kind of typical that younger people, is that one that seems to happen more, younger people?
Yes, I think the trend is that people, particularly adolescents and young adults, really are influenced by today, and suicide seems like an option for them.
Now, I'm looking over some of your notes here. It says there are more than twice as many suicides, over 47,000 in the United States, as there were homicides, 19,000. Mm-hmm. That is an amazing number, a very sad number, but boy, it sure gets your attention. If we think someone is seriously contemplating suicide, Susan, what kinds of action can people take to help out?
Well, I think the most important thing is to express concern to them. You know, I noticed that, you know, you seem different and I'm wondering what's going on. Talking to them in private and listening to them without judgment. So often, you know, if you're not suicidal and somebody says, you know, I'm really suicidal and I think I'm going to kill myself, it's easy to be flippant and say, oh, well, things can't be that bad. You know, or, what are you talking about? You know, that's not an option. So just listen without judgment. Let them know that you care about them and ask them directly if they're suicidal. If you skirt around the bush, they might be able to kind of slide through there, but are you thinking about suicide? Do you feel like hurting yourself? And if they say yes, you can say, if you thought about doing that, how would you do it? So if they say, for example, that they would jump out of an airplane at 80,000 feet, you know, they don't have access to that. So that kind of lessens the severity. But if they say, well, I'm just going to take all my meds, and you know that they take eight kinds of meds, then that really could be a danger sign.
So if you see some danger signs as a friend, You know, and it depends how far you want to take it. I mean, what do you do then? I mean, do you suggest that they go to counseling, or do you call someone, or how do people handle that?
I would, first of all, take them very seriously, you know, but sometimes people say that they're suicidal multiple times, and people tend to discount that after a while, kind of like they're calling Wolf. But I would take it very seriously. I would stay with them and help them remove any lethal means. So you might ask them, you said that you wanted to use your medications to harm yourself. Let's get all your medications together so that we can keep you safe. And then I would call mental health center or whatever. I would have them call. Or if they're really not willing to go, then I would call 911 and have the police and fire transport them to the ER.
And then from the ER, what would happen there? They'd get examined and maybe talk with some folks?
Yes. So Family Counseling Center has a 24-hour on-call at FHN Hospital. And so the hospital would call one of our on-call workers, and they would be assessed for suicide, you know, for suicidality and their ability to keep themselves safe. And if they can't do that, then they would be hospitalized.
Does any action like that put someone over the top, so to speak? Mm-hmm. I mean, doing something like that, maybe if they had thoughts of suicide, are there statistics that sometimes, okay, somebody called me on it, now I'm going to do it? Or is it more of, okay, they mentioned this, now someone has stepped in to help them out, and that is a good series of things to go through?
Sometimes I think that people who are suicidal don't know how to ask for help. You know, they're so in that dark place that they don't know how to reach out and ask for help. So I think sometimes people are really glad that somebody is intervening. You know, there are a subset of those people who are going to be really mad at you. But I'd rather have somebody be mad at me than dead.
Well said. And I wouldn't say I was surprised, but I was taken aback a little bit when you said, you know, ask them, are you thinking about suicide and how would you do this? That must be a way to kind of feel them out to see if they're serious or just throwing it out there because they're frustrated that particular day. Thoughts on that?
I think that it indicates to them that you're listening to them. And that you hear that the severity of the situation, and that you really care about what happens to them.
Are people that are suicidal, is it a hopelessness typically, or are there many different factors that go into thoughts like that?
I think probably hopelessness. It could be they can't figure any other way to get out of what they're in. So often people are so deeply depressed. You know, it's like being in a big black hole, and they don't see any way out. And the only way out they see is suicide.
Is to end it. And I would guess talking with people or just someone understanding and being able to hear that. You may have kind of covered some of this before, but any suggestions about how to get a person to accept help if they don't think they need it or just won't take any steps themselves? Like you kind of covered that with making some phone calls.
Yes, I would call. You know what? I've been in that situation where people would not do anything. And I would say, like my responsibility as a clinician, but even as a friend, is I want to keep people safe. So if keeping them safe is calling 911 and having them transported, then I would do that.
All right. And I'm sure there are people out there listening as we speak that have had a thought about suicide, friend or family member. What's the difference between being depressed, and I'm guessing there are varying degrees of that, and being suicidal? Mm-hmm. And how do you kind of know which is which?
Suicide is an action that results from people's helpless hopelessness. Depression is a mental health condition. You know, people can take meds for it and stuff. But depression I would say that, you know, suicide could be, you know, people who are depressed sometimes have suicidal thoughts. But then, you know, some people take it that extra step and actually have an idea and a plan to kill themselves.
Now, if somebody does have suicidal thoughts, should they be talking to somebody once those thoughts creep into your mind? Okay.
So. I think so. Now, I've worked with a lot of people, and a lot of people make the statement, well, I might as well just end it. You know, in frustration and anger and whatever. And that's something to be explored. Sometimes people who are really suicidal don't make those statements.
Do people that are suicidal, you know, talking with them, being in the counseling end of it, do you ever discuss to someone suicidal, have you thought about, you know, who you're leaving behind, what this is going to do to your family and friends? Have you thought about that? Is that a subject that comes up? Because it's, I know people who have had a suicide in their family, and mm-hmm. it can throw off a parent's life for the rest of their life. I mean, is that something talked about?
In my professional opinion, I don't think that's something to really, at the time that they're really suicidal, to talk about. Once they're into recovery, you can talk to them about impact of suicide on the family and on pets and all of those things. But when they're really in the depths of it, I don't think that would be a wise thing to do.
That's almost throwing guilt at them before it happens.
Yeah, and then that would just be like, well, I might as well just do it then.
National Suicide Prevention is this month, September, which we just started out, and it's a good reminder that we all need to take care of ourselves, not only physically, mm-hmm. but emotionally and mentally. So how can mm-hmm. people take good care of themselves mentally, and what kind of things should they be doing or maybe not doing?
I think many times life gets to people and they don't talk to people about what really is going on. You know, it's kind of like, well, how are you today, Joe? Well, I'm fine, you know, kind of have a sore toe, whatever. But they don't really say, you know, well, I'm feeling kind of down because, you know, I just got a foreclosure notice, or I just lost my job. People sometimes don't talk about what they really feel. And so it's important, especially during the pandemic, that adds a whole new layer of everything, that they need to talk about how they feel with a close friend or somebody who's non-judgmental. Therapist, maybe.
And maybe as a friend, if you see a person you know well that's usually upbeat and suddenly for a couple weeks, a month, 6 months, seems to be a little down in the dumps, it's okay to say, hey, is everything okay? Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, you know, I noticed, you're not your usual perky self. What's going on? Maybe we should have a cup of coffee and we can talk about, you know, just sometimes just that human contact when people don't feel like that they're the only person on the earth, that no one cares about them, that human contact can make the big difference.
So as a friend or a family member, it's good to, if you notice something, bring it up.
Yes. Right.
There are screens, Susan, for physical problems. What kind of screens are available for mental or emotional problems?
There are a number of screening tools that we use to indicate where people are in depression or in their mental health. And usually when you begin services at a place, then, you know, we give screening tools to find out where are you with your mental health. Do you have anxiety? Do you have depression? Do you have PTSD? And so those are really helpful type things for when people seek services between the clinician and the client.
What's the range of services available through FHN Family Counseling?
FHN has a variety of services for our community. We have individual and group therapy. We have family therapy and couples therapy. We have we're starting up substance abuse groups. We also have parent education for people with children between 0 and 5. We also have case managers. So, for example, if somebody's newly on to Social Security disability and they don't know what to do, we have case managers that will help them negotiate, like setting up for food stamps, setting up for doctor's appointments, setting up appointments so that they're able to carry on with their lives.
So how can, as we wrap up, how can someone make an appointment with FHN Family Counseling?
Family counseling number is 815-599-7300, and our call center will take their call, and we can proceed to get them services. We also, we have crisis people on call 24 hours a day, so if people are having a crisis, they're able to walk into Family Counseling Center and someone will help them, or they can just go to the emergency room, and one of our crisis workers will assess them.
A difficult subject today, Susan, talking about suicide prevention, but it's good to be there to help people, or if you need help, to seek it. Clinical Director at FHN Family Counseling Center, Susan Johnson, has been our guest today from FHN and Dial-A-Doc. Susan, thanks so much for sharing all that information with us. And folks, anybody out there looking for a little help, go to FHN.org and you can get some. You have a great day, Susan. You take care, all righty.
Thank you, you too.
That's our Dial-A-Doc today. This is WBGR Big FM 93.7.